From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Riley is joined by Donna Warhover, one of the mentors for Practical Farmers of Iowa's Labor for Learning program. I will hear from Jim Schertzer with Syngenta Seeds about selecting the right seed for your operation. And Dustin provides an update on the devastating wildfires in Texas. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, welcome to another edition of Iowa Ag Matters here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Dustin Huffman, and it is a little cloudier today, supposed to be a little cooler than it was yesterday, but the sun's trying to poke through here and there, Andy. How are things looking out your neck of the woods?
Absolutely gorgeous for the 12th of March, and actually, my newsletter piece that will come out this afternoon at 5 o'clock mentions or references this as well. We started planting soybeans, not on a large scale basis, but over 100 acres on April 12th of last year, exactly 1 month from today. So it's right around the corner, planting season. It's probably felt like that for a while. May get cooler, may get some moisture towards the end of this week, but lots to discuss, including the markets and continuing to see some building momentum, I suppose, if you will, at least off of recent lows. Perhaps the spring lows are in. Joe Camp from Comstock kicks us off here today with the market commentary, visiting right now with Mark Magnuson.
Let's flip over to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What's happening with the protein sector?
You have a continued sort of correction, I'll call it, on the cattle futures. Last week was really a phase of consolidation after this really impressive run-up for the board. I think it's still a bit opposite of what we're seeing in the grains, where you have had such a heavy managed money net short, a record net short on corn, and then last week the report showing a record net short held on soybeans. But you know, since we've gotten into the month of March, we've had a considerable rebound for futures, and that is involving of the short covering, which is back to the cattle, opposite of what we're seeing here in terms of long liquidation, profit taking on some of these bullish bets. It had been 2 months straight where those hedge funds were net buyers of all of the livestock, live cattle, feeder cattle, and hogs included there. And so just taking some money off of the table, I think for the most part, you have for the cattle gotten to a point where the board did outrun most of the cash trade. And so we're still generally bullish on the fundamentals and how the cash will perform from here. But seasonally, everybody's aware that it's a time of the year where we could start to see some topping type of action for the market.
Joe, have we done enough at all this spring to help bring back the pasture and rangeland that we know has been affected by drought so much in recent years?
We really were positive about the improvement heading through the early winter months, but we've gotten again to a point, unfortunately, where we've had some reversal of that drought abatement in the southern plains, and that of course goes along with what we've read about with the huge wildfire, record large, well over 1 million acres in the Texas panhandle. That dry, windy weather can really sap moisture in a hurry, especially when you're, you know, barely rebuilding it after several years straight of drought. And so we do see, like on the drought monitor, those dry conditions spreading again throughout some of those key winter wheat regions, for one, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and up into the rest of the middle of the country as well. Of course, we're monitoring dry spots in Iowa and a lot of areas west of the Mississippi, where it's concerning, at least, that we're as dry as we are heading into the new spring season, which is just ahead for planting, right?
We're all checking the weather, I think, Joe, to find out when that next rainfall is going to come. He is Joe Camp of Comstock, our guest here today. Joe, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Yeah, all of our contact information, our marketing information up at comstock.com.
Joe, thanks so much for the time here today. Appreciate your time. Have a great week.
Same. We'll talk with you next time.
We'll hear more from Joe Camp of Comstock Investments coming up a little later on in the program, talking about the livestock. But right now, Andy Peterson's here. He's got three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Starting slow in 2024, the Iowa and U.S. dairy industry due to low demand. According to Rabobank's first quarter report, where Lucas Fries, senior dairy analyst, says he's cautiously optimistic of a bit of a price recovery.
I do think that because we're tighter on milk supply domestically, and then we're also lower on a global basis, end users are aware of this, and we've seen very slight price recovery in recent weeks. Kind of our theme in this report and looking ahead towards prices this year is one of slow but steady milk price improvement. I don't think we're going back to the, in some cases, record high prices of 2022, but overall we should see a little bit better margins from a farmer perspective this year than we saw in a challenging 2023.
He says dairy exports did back off in 2023, but we have to remember 2022 was a record year.
Number two.
Understanding the flex in order to drive yield. That's the theory from AgriGold agronomist Sam McCord in his latest kernels per bushel report in order to help farmers take things a step differently. He says that there are, quote, subtle differences with every hybrid, and this data reflects that. It gives farmers an in-depth look at what they can expect with these hybrids and how they can help perform their best. Now, you can read the report in depth in our e-newsletter that will come out this afternoon at 5 p.m.
Number one.
Starting slow in 2024, the Iowa and U.S. dairy industry due to low demand. According to Rabobank's first quarter report, where Lucas Fries, senior dairy analyst, says he's cautiously optimistic of a bit of a price recovery.
I do think that because we're tighter on milk supply domestically, and then we're also lower on a global basis, end users are aware of this, and we've seen very slight price recovery in recent weeks. Kind of our theme in this report and looking ahead towards prices this year is one of slow but steady milk price improvement. I don't think we're going back to the, in some cases, record high prices of 2022, but overall we should see a little bit better margins from a farmer perspective this year than we saw in a challenging 2023.
He says dairy exports did back off in 2023, but we have to remember 2022 was a record year. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Mentioned planting day could be a month away, perhaps if it's like last year. Well, better get that seed picked out and placed, and we'll talk about some important considerations with our friends at Syngenta coming up on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Welcome back to Iowa Ag Matters. And of course, as we're getting ready for that planting season, as we've mentioned, getting the right seeds is, of course, essential to getting that crop off the right foot. And the folks at Syngenta talking with Mark Magnuson right now about making sure you've got the right seeds in the right field across your operation.
When selecting seed for the upcoming growing season, a grower should be striving to select the right seed for their operation and the right seed for each field. More options allow for more opportunities to make that correct choice. Syngenta Seeds offers three brands and three different ways for farmers to make their seed selection, says Jim Schertzer with Syngenta Seeds.
We have our NK Seeds brand, which is sold through retail. So if you like to buy your seed and you got a trusted advisor and your retail partner, they offer NK Seeds, so an awesome way to get your, you know, leading soybean and corn products to a retail partner.
In addition to NK Seeds, the Golden Harvest brand offers local knowledge and agronomy expertise, says Schertzer.
Then we've got Golden Harvest, which is really rooted in agronomy, very local feel to it, where we've got our great seed advisors out there who are representing the brand locally.
He says the latest route to market, GHX, allows growers to find the right seed for them down to the field level.
And then our newest route to market, GHX. And GHX is really harnessing data, harnessing a seed advisor to go out there and make sure we're getting the right products on the right field. at the right population, and it doesn't cost you anything more. So if we're going to push populations, going to drive that yield up, it's not going to cost you any more to push that population, but it's leveraging data and people to make good decisions on where to place seed on your farm.
Last year's widespread drought affected large swaths of growers across the Midwest. Despite the stress from drought and heat, yields were not lowered significantly.
That's the great thing about, I'm going to talk beyond just Syngenta seeds. You know, you think about the industry as a whole, the seed industry, the amount of investment in R&D. If you just totaled it all up, I think we're seeing the benefits of that. You know, we've got a pretty robust pipeline. We spent about $400 million in R&D about 5 years ago. And as you know, you can't just kick out new corn hybrids the next year. It takes time. And so that investment. We're at the front end of it, and we see very strong product performance coming out of our product pipeline. So in Iowa, if you're up in that kind of northern third of Iowa above Highway 20, we got a new 103-day product that's out that you may want to get to, if you can get some, your hands on it and try it. A elite product that's coming out of our R&D network from that perspective. And the soybean side, continual strong soybean lineup in either trait platform, whether you're in the list or you're more on the XtendFlex side. We have some elite germplasm in our soybean lineup as well. So a lot of new products out there. We're excited about the future. We're excited about what we're doing from an R&D perspective.
Thank you to Jim Scherzer with Syngenta Seeds. I'm Mark Magnuson for Iowa Ag Matters.
It's March. Even though, for the most part, this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking. And also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, we're only a few short hours remaining here to get your submissions in for the best burger competition. Andy, tell us a little more.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the sort of throwback theme, I guess, on the 15th anniversary of the contest that the Iowa Beef Industry Council and the Iowa Cattlemen's Association have been doing to recognize past winners, most of them over 15 years who are still around, which is saying something with the way that things go restaurant-wise here these days. 5 o'clock is the deadline, iabeef.org. If you go there, the first thing that will come up is Iowa's Best Burger Contest, and you can nominate your favorite go-to burger joint before 5 o'clock, and we'll get something up on social media about that as a reminder as well. Look forward to the top 10 being released on Monday here on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, it's time to run down those elevator numbers for you here on Iowa Ag Matters on this Tuesday, March the 12th. I'm Dustin Hoffman. Starting at ADM in Burlington, they're 13 cents under on corn, 425. Soybeans 11 cents under at 1166. Cargill Eddyville, a dime under on corn, cash bid 428. New Co-op Algona, 17 cents under at 421. Soybeans 60 cents under, cash bid 1117. Ag State Sheldon, they're 4 cents under on corn, 434. Soybeans, 73 cents under at 1104. Ag State Elta, 21 cents under on corn, 417. Soybeans, 67 cents under at 1110. At Cargill Cedar Rapids, they are even today on corn at 438. Soybeans, a nickel under, cash bid 1172. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, a nickel under on corn, 433. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1127. Lincoln Way Ethanol, Nevada, they are a nickel under on corn, cash bid 433. At ADM in Des Moines, they're 12 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1165. New Co-op Red Oak, 20 cents under on corn, 418. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1127. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 35 cents under on corn, 403. Soybeans, 53 cents under at 1124. New Co-op Sheraton, 35 cents under on corn, 403. Soybeans, 55 cents under, cash bid 1122. Walk-on feed ranks 23 cents under on corn, 4.15. Soybeans 43 cents under at 11.34. New Co-op Glidden, 17 cents under on corn. Cash bid 4.21. Soybeans 50 cents under at 11.27. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 20 cents under on corn, 4.18. Soybeans 39 cents under. Cash bid 11.38. And Cargill Muscatine, they're 17 cents under on corn today, 4.21. Soybeans 12 cents under. They're at 11.65. Just a reminder that cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a rundown of the basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
We got more markets still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers, those grain and livestock prices coming up for you with Andy and Mark. Don't forget, you can get free market analysis sent right to your mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast. You can find them at Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean, and also through iowaagnet.com. We've got more Iowa Ag Matters coming up right after this, so stay with us on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Hands-on learning is hard to top. There's no doubt about that. It's also hard to find in a lot of cases in agriculture, particularly if it comes with compensation. Well, that's where our friends at Practical Farmers of Iowa have come in with their new program that Donna Warover is participating in to help the next generation of farmers. Riley Smith tells us more.
Donna, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today. First off, tell us a little bit about what got you involved in the Practical Farmers of Iowa Labor for Learning program.
I felt like it was a really good program to help beginning farmers, individuals that were contemplating farming, to give them a chance to really work hands-on, learn hands-on the farm. We've had so many employees that go through the farm that moved on to their own farming endeavors. And to be able to do that first on a farm where you have someone that can mentor you is just so invaluable.
And you're providing some unique experience, too, through your farm, Morning Glory Farm. Just tell us a little bit about your operation and kind of the opportunities that are available to those trainees who go through your training experience.
Sure. So at Morning Glory Farm, we do community supported agriculture shares. So over the years, we've done spring, summer, and fall shares to our community. We grow both in we have a greenhouse, so we start production in the greenhouse. We have high tunnels, so we can both plant very early in the spring and continue into late fall. And then we also do crops in the field. So there's all sorts of different areas that folks can learn in and learn from. We do farmers markets. We have sales to restaurants and community schools. So there are all sorts of different sales avenues. So just a lot of different opportunities for someone to learn the whole business, you know, the farming, the marketing, the business side of running a farm.
Yeah, and I think that's such an interesting part of just agriculture as a whole, because a lot of people, when they think of working on a farm, they just think of maybe typical farmhand work of just doing that physical labor. But like you mentioned, there's a lot more that goes into it, and having such a diversified operation as yours, you know, I would bet that it's pretty interesting and very rewarding to kind of have those roots in, you know, a lot of different areas of the community, right?
Well, I believe so. And I also think that when you're working on a farm that does so many different things, and as a new beginning farmer can have a taste of all of those different revenue streams and enterprises, you have a better idea going forward what kind of things you are interested in pursuing. Not everybody does all of the things that we do. You can narrow that down and decide, this is how I want to my farm to look. And I think being a labor for learning mentee allows you to kind of see all the different aspects and decide how you want to model your farm.
All right, Donna, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who might be interested in learning more about the Labor for Learning program and getting involved specifically with Morning Glory Farm, where do they start? Where do they start, and who do they need to contact for that?
Well, they can go to the practicalfarmers.org Labor for Learning website, and there is a whole list of mentors all over the state of Iowa that are looking for mentees to work on their farm. And so you can look through the list and find a farmer that is close to you and inquire right there on that website.
Well, great information from the folks there at Practical Farmers of Iowa. Now we're going to kick things back over to Andy Peterson. He's got the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Deadline is nearing to revise elections and sign contracts for the farm program at the FSA office, including making your ARC or PLC decision. Now, some of that decision may depend upon which crop insurance products you've taken, as some of those add-ons are specific to each individual program. March 15th is the deadline. If you've not done so yet, contact your local USDA service center.
Number two.
Starting slow in 2024, the Iowa and U.S. dairy industry due to low demand. According to Rabobank's first quarter report, where Lucas Freeze, senior dairy analyst, says he's cautiously optimistic of a bit of a price recovery.
I do think that because we're tighter on milk supply domestically, and then we're also lower on a global basis, end users are aware of this, and we've seen very slight price recovery in recent weeks. Kind of our theme in this report and looking ahead towards prices this year is one of slow but steady milk price improvement. I don't think we're going back to the, in some cases, record high prices of 2022, but overall we should see a little bit better margins from a farmer perspective this year than we saw in a challenging 2023.
He says dairy exports did back off in 2023, but we have to remember 2022 was a record year.
Number one.
A training opportunity for up-and-coming farmers to learn from experienced farmers across the state. That's the Labor for Learning program from our friends Practical Farmers of Iowa. And applications for those paid on farm jobs are now available.
I felt like it was a really good program to help beginning farmers, individuals that were contemplating farming, to give them a chance to really work hands-on, learn hands-on the farm. We've had so many employees that go through the farm that moved on to their own farming endeavors. And to be able to do that first on a farm where you have someone that can mentor you is just so invaluable.
Donna Warnhover at Morning Glory Farm in Mount Vernon, one of this year's returning mentors, and she says it's always great to give back to the profession. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, we've got midday numbers coming up. See what those grain and livestock markets are doing here, trying to get those grains off of some lows we saw earlier today. Next on the Iowa Ag Matters program from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing for our Midday Market Discussion. John, what are we seeing taking place in the grains today?
Yeah, we got a little firmer trade so far, at least up to this time frame in the grain market. So we'll see how we finish out the day. You know, first off, corn futures, like, just kind of getting some good follow through, led by that wheat market. Wheat market continues to work itself a little bit higher here on the session. Now, corn's kind of rallying up key levels of resistance here around that 440, 445 area of the May. We're holding under that right now. I would be surprised. Maybe we're seeing some movement out there, a little bit of hedge pressure. We'll have to see how that kind of goes. Again, just got a lot of supply that could limit the top side of this rally. Over on the soybean side of the equation, we got those CONAD numbers this morning. A nice cut in that Brazilian production. The market may have known that was coming to a point, but it was enough to run us off the lows from the overnight. Again, same thing like corn. How far can we go here? There's a lot of selling going on from the Brazilian producer. They're behind on their sales. So a price move like this gives them an opportunity to get some hedging in. So that could limit the upside here in the short term, as we just got a lot of supplies for both corn and soybeans on the front end.
That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Let's jump into the numbers here, Mark. Beef first. Daily estimated slaughter totals 111,000 head. That's 6,000 less than a week ago and 10,000 less than a year ago. Boxes at midday are a little higher once again on about moderate movement. 44 loads of choice cut selling at $308.88, up $1.84. Select $298.88, $1.45. Stronger on 14 loads of movement, meaning the spread right at that $10 level. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter numbers, 468,000 head. That is 25,000 less than a week ago and 16,000 less than a year ago. Cash markets, we wrap up yesterday's trade for comparison purposes. Barrows and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise. We saw only 2,800 head and some change of negotiated purchases. And the weighted average price came in at 76.12, so basically flat, 2 cents lower was the total movement. Formula purchases, a big run, 167,000 head. Weighted average price, 80.23, so that market finished a dime higher. As far as what's happening today, well, we see only 1,600 head of negotiated purchases and no price available due to confidentiality issues. Formula purchases, a pretty light run as well, 97,000 head of sales. Weighted average price, $81.51, so $1.31 stronger there.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds. Protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
At midday, May corn is up 1.5 at 443.25. May soybeans up 8.75 at 1188 even. May soybean meal up 10 cents at 337.30. May soybean oil up 89 cents at 47.53. Chicago wheat up 4.5 at 551.75. Minneapolis wheat up 1 even at 671 even. On the Merck, April live cattle up $1.22 at 188.82. March feeder cattle up $1.10 at 249.35. April lean hogs up $1.02 at 84.30. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
As we promised, Joe Camp of Comstock Investments joining us again here on Iowa Ag Matters. Let us know what's been moving those numbers in the livestock side of the complex.
Joined today by Joe Camp of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Joe, what's taking place in the grains?
Quiet overnight trade here, mixed with corn and wheat lower, soybeans higher though, and that may be in response in part to these new numbers from CONAB. That's Brazil's USDA equivalent. That agency reducing the soybean crop estimate yet again down to 146.8 million metric tons. That puts them well below where the USDA is at here. As of that last Friday report, it was part of the surprise that the USDA did stay sort of stubbornly high, in my view, on these Brazilian production estimates. And this report from CONAB this morning was a chance at, you know, at least some vindication of the USDA outlook if CONAB were to come up And after, you know, now we're approaching two-thirds of the harvest being complete for soybeans in Brazil, they should have a good handle on it. But again, a lower estimate yet. We've still got a big gap between the USDA and Brazil's CONAB for last year's soybean production estimate. And so it's a difference of, at this point, well over 500 million bushels. I'd have to calculate the math again. But we're talking about a big number here, you know, something that's double or more what the USDA carryout has grown to. So it does make a difference as we see about how production in Brazil is going to influence the decision making of the big importers like China. Recently, some positive for the market has been that Brazilian soybean prices have moved up anyway, and it can be that harvest pressure is waning, and we've got at least some narrowing of the discount that Brazil has carried under the U.S. market, and so that should bode well for export demand going forward.
What did we learn in those export inspections yesterday?
You know, that we're starting to move some grain here at a better clip as spring sort of awakens, and that is something that fits too with the data on like barge loadings across the river system. We're moving more down river and into export position, and so that's a good thing. You know, the negative of it has been for wheat, and yesterday marked three trading sessions in a row where we had an announcement for soybean wheat cancellations, those previous purchases of soft red wheat from China that they have canceled. Those were purchases made in early December. And now they won't be shipped out because the market price, at least for May Chicago futures, has fallen more than $1.20 or so since that time. And so washing out of some of those sales.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your Soy Checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, as we know, the Texas wildfires have been burning for several weeks, and while it's mostly contained, there's still a few hot spots that they are working on, but now is when we're going to start to feel the effects of the loss, and that especially is going to happen in the cattle market. We'll have more on that coming up next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, the high winds the past couple of days have made things concerning around here as far as the fire danger, but nothing like what they're seeing in Texas with the wildfires. And you think about what the industry's like down there, the cattle industry, and the literal miles and tens of miles of fences that burn up, not to mention the rest of the devastation. Dustin Hoffman tells us more.
Well, wildfires in Texas have been burning for some time and are reportedly at least 70%, if not more, contained. However, the loss of property and life in Texas has been terrible. In fact, cattle are spread across both of those spectrums. While they are livestock property of ranches, there are also lives being lost in the devastating event. The count for the loss of cattle is still going on, as animals are still being gathered and some will have to be euthanized. The loss is already in the tens of thousands and could grow. Lane Cockles with Beaver County Stockyards and says this loss is doubly devastating as herd sizes were already low from drought conditions.
We were already short on cows in this part of the world from the drought there a couple years ago, so the cow numbers themselves are already down, and this is for sure not going to help that in any way, shape, or form. What it does to the long-term cow market, it's hard to say exactly, but in the short term, we were short young cows anyway, and that's not going to change here for the next 6 months to a year and a half. Just the total devastation in this deal, it's just been awful, but it once again brought to the forefront just the resiliency of so many of the people in this part of the world. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking to somebody from Slopout, Oklahoma, Perryton, Texas, Borger, Texas, Fritch, it don't matter. They all hate what's happened, but on the same token, they're getting up and hitting it again.
Pat McDowell is a farmer, rancher, and district judge in Wheeler County, Texas, and he talks about how the mop-up efforts are going to finish off the fire.
The definition of containment is they don't have every little hot spot within the boundary put out. So that's, as far as we know right now, the fire's out. All the firefighters are at home except for all of the wonderful state volunteers, or supposedly 300 and some odd volunteer firefighters and paid fire departments from around the state that are up here doing the mopping up operations. But the major fire is over, but I mean, there's still always a chance for an ember, a wind change, you know, to start the thing back up. And, you know, but it's pretty much out.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been offering all the efforts of the state to help ranchers affected. And even though the wildfire was so large, McDowell says that they won't qualify for any FEMA disaster help and will have to rely on the state and private donations.
He has offered every state agency's assistance, and those state agencies have been up here, you know, since day two, and it's really been good. The Department of Emergency Management's kind of taken over the big part of it, and they're helping all the firefighters, and, you know, a lot of it's paperwork now, and to try to get some reimbursement from the feds and some of the state agencies. But this is not going to reach a FEMA level disaster. It's basically going to be private donations, faith-based charities that are, you know, going to help these, whatever the exact number is, 70 or 80 homeowners, 100 homeowners that have lost their house. We're still needing hay up here. We still need some cow cake. And then fencing supplies is going to be the big deal.
Tyler Shaw of AgMarket.net joined us yesterday on AMPM and said that the reach of these fires is not going to be felt immediately on the marketplace, including even at the grocery store shelves. However, he expects those implications to be dragged out over the next several months and maybe even in the next year to come.
It's similar to, if you recall, I think it was 2016, 2017, there was a massive blizzard in western South Dakota that wreaked havoc early in the fall. And, you know, the feeder calf market really didn't respond for about 8 or 9 months. So I think you're probably going to see the same thing. You know, we're really not going to feel the effects of that for quite some time. It's unfortunate, especially unfortunate for the producers that lost animals. But, you know, the market's going to take some time to adjust for those lower numbers. I just don't see the short-term impact really driving prices right at this moment. But it's, you're right, we're already dealing with low cow supplies. There was a lot of cows that most likely died in that area, and that's just going to be even fewer breeding animals, fewer calves coming out next year, and just making numbers even tighter. That's not necessarily what the cattle market needs.
Donate to Texas Wildfire Relief. You can click on a link on our website at iowaagnet.com. For Iowa Ag Matters, I'm Dustin Hoffman.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
And of course, you know, our hearts go out to everybody out there affected by those wildfires. And, you know, as we talk about what's going on, the devastation there, a couple of places, I believe Lynn and Delaware County starting to activate and get some relief down to them as well. Andy, what have you heard?
Yeah, the Lynn County Cattlemen's Banquet this past weekend, there was an effort, certainly cattlemen helping cattlemen, which they're always tremendous about, to try and get some supplies headed in that direction. And we'll, of course, keep you up to date on that as plans develop. Thanks to Dustin, Riley, Mark, and you for being here today on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. This has been Iowa Ag Matters. We'll see you tomorrow.